Vov Cheshvan, Thursday the 10th of October, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, chapter and verse, final part, 10.
We've had 9 sessions on the Aleph Beis, the wording, the psukim, etc., as to how they all fit together in a holy manner. There's far more depth in Torah, Ksav, Shabbat, Peh. But then Dudi suggested that the tenth one to round it all off, because 10 is a nice holy number, a nice kiddusha. And in fact, it's an excellent idea, because what I'm proposing to do today is to take one example where we can apply many, many of the principles which we have discussed. You might remember some of them might have been forgotten, but what we are going to do is take one mizmor, and I've chosen for this purpose one which is actually a remarkable mizmor. All of them are remarkable, but this is something which I found in numerous ideas, apart from what the actual text says, from the construction of the mizmor. And the one we're going to look at is Mizmor LeDavid, which we say when we put the Sefer Torah back before Musaf on Shabbos, whereas in all other occasions we say a different Mizmor, David Mizmor. And therefore there's got to be some explanation as to why we change just before Shabbos Musaf to say Mizmor LeDavid. Another occasion where we say Mizmor LeDavid is on Friday night. There is, in fact, not everybody actually starts from there or says it there, because if you look through the Tehillim, from the start from chapter Tzadik Dalet, I think it is, and we say 5 Mizmorim, and then the 6th Mizmor, according to the Ramak, it wasn't Mizmor Adav, it was actually Mizmor Lasoda. And there are certain Svadi Kehillahs which still say Mizmor Lasoda. However, the Arizal said you should say Mizmor Ladovid, and our minig is a combination of the Arizal and the Ramak. We say 5 other Mizmorim, and then we all say Mizmor Ladovid. That's our minig. But the interesting thing is, we stand up for Mizmor LeDavid, we don't stand up for the other 5. And that also needs some explanation. There's some special kedusha here in Mizmor LeDavid, why we all stand up for that particular Mizmor, the 6th in the series. Looking at the bottom, just before we go into the depth, we can see I've set out other occasions on when it is said. A is Friday night, B was putting Sefer Torah back, C you'll see there is from the Sefer Chassidim. It was a custom, some people, I'm going to say custom, when a person was on his deathbed, this was the mizmor that were they advised to say. We don't always say Shema, we say Vidu, etc. But apparently there was such a custom, difficult to call it a custom of a person's dying, but it seems to be there was such an inyan that the person would wash their hands and then say mizmor LeDavid just before they were going to Olam Habo. Gemara on Rosh Hashanah tells us this is the Mizmor for Mincha on Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara in Sukkah tells us that this is the Mizmor for the first day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos. And in Maseches Sofrim we find it's also the Mizmor for Shavuos. So it has a lot of different places where it occurs, and it's got different reasons why it occurs in different places. Just for example, on Shavuos it will turn up because of Matan Torah, talking about Matan Torah, when we put the Sefer Torah back. It's the same syndrome. We're putting it back, we're saying it's Mizmor. On Sukkot, we're saying it's called Hashem al Amoyim. It's talking about Nisuch HaMayim. That makes it appropriate for Sukkot, etc. So there are good reasons why it's said in all these places. What I want to look at more is the content of this Mizmor from the different aspects. Now, the first thing we need to look at is its position in Tehillim. We have it as Tehillim chapter Chof Tes. However, it's clear from the Gemara in Brachos and from other combinations that the correct position is not Chof Tes but Chof Ches, because the Gemara tells us Asher in Lomarokshu, it's Aleph and Beis, is really one chapter. So all the chapters move up one chapter. In fact, although we've got 150, the Medrash tells us there were only 147 chapters in Tehillim Keneged, the age of Yaakov Avinu. So 3 Mizmorim get lost. One of them is the two psukim, one of Hallelujah, because you don't normally have a mizmor of less than three psukim. So that's one. One is Asher and Long Rosh, and there's another one. But the point I'm trying to make is that its true position of this mizmor is mizmor Chof Ches. Now, 28 is a very, very significant number. Number of Koyach, it's the number which represents Kaddish, etc. So the very fact that it occurs in that position already gives it a certain chashivas, just from its position in the Tehillim. That's the point one.
What did you just say about 28?
Koyach.
Yeah, I know, after.
And it is the number which represents Kaddish. It's the number of the number of letters in the first Pasuk in Chumash. It's the number of the letters in the Pasuk prior to Aseres Adibras. So this number 28 has a tremendous chashivas. Right? I'm not going into that particular number at the moment. But that's basically, its position itself teaches us there's something special about it. Alright? It's also between previous chapter and the following chapter, and the Rashbam points out that the reason why it's where it is next to the previous chapter, in which it says a promise, Hashem Uzi Morgini Ashri Ahodenu. So, since the previous chapter is talking about a certain Inyan, it follows that chapter, because the Tehillim have a certain sequence, and that's its position. And of course it's followed afterwards by Mizmor Shechanukah Sabayis L'Dovid. So quite clearly, it's connected with Chanukah Sabayis, and that's of course one of the reasons why we say it before putting the Sefer Torah back. But why Davka Shabbos Musaf and not on the other occasions, that we'll come to in a second. But already you begin to see a picture from where it is structured in its position. So when you look at something in Chumash or Tanakh or in Gemara, you always need to know what's the connection between what went before and what went afterwards. So we're already seeing a connection here in this Mizmor from its position. That's one thing you've got to look at. The next thing I've written down is, very often there is a significance in the number of words or the number of letters and so forth. Now, in this particular occasion, if you count up the number of verses, let's start with the verses, you'll find the psukim, there are 11 psukim. Well, you say, well, it's got a certain number of psukim, but there's a significance in numerology. And the significance of number 11 is well known. It's the same as the Urias in the Mishkan. Why were there 11 Urias? Why did they have to have the covering of the Mishkan with 11? 10 would have been a holy number. 12, the number of clouds. Why especially 11? And it's not just 11, it's 6 plus 5. Because there was 6 on one side and 5 on the other. And the Mephoshim explained that the number 11 is the Mispar HaTeshuvah, the number which represents doing Teshuvah. And that's why in Zochreinu L'Chaim, on the Aseres Me'Teshuvah, there are exactly 11 words in Zochreinu L'Chaim. Right, there's a significance in the letters there too, but at the moment we're looking at the words. There are 11 words because Zochrein L'Chaim is the beginning of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva extra bits, which deals with Tshuva, and there are 11 words in it. The Torah points that out. Now, but the Gaon and the Netziv both point out at the beginning of Shir HaShirim, that Yishokeini Min Shikros Pihu. Now that's possible. It's talking about, in the Medrash, it's talking about Tershub Iksav and Tershub Alper. And they both ask, well, it should have been Yishar Kenim and Shikas Piv. Because his mouth is Piv, not Piyu. Piyu, all right, you're going to say it's sort of poetic. But you don't put letters in just for poetry. Yes, it is poetic, but there's got to be a point. And they both point out that Pihu is Pi He Vov. He stands for Chamisha Chumshe Torah, which is Torah Shabiksav, and the Vov stands for the Shisho Sidre Mishnah, which is Torah Shabal Peh. And that's also, by the way, why the letter He represents the feminine, like Bo, Terosah, etc. The He is the feminine letter, and Bo, the Vov, is the masculine letter. Why? Because the Torah Shabiksav is like the Isha who is going to produce the baby, the goods, and the man is the fertilizer. He is the one who's going to bring it all out. So the hay represents the feminine, and the vav represents the masculine. Now that's in the Groan and the Tziv, as I said, at the beginning of Shir HaShirim. But it shows you the significance of number 11. So what this 11 verses are doing in Mizmor Nedarim is teaching us we've got something to learn here about Torah Shebikhtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. When we put the Sefer Torah back, we're not just putting a Torah Shebikhtav back, we're putting back a Torah which is imbued with both Torah Shebikhtav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's why there are 11 psukim. Moving on from the psukim, you'll find there are 91 words. Now that's an extremely significant number, this number 91. You find it again and again through our davening and Psukei Dezimrim, again and again, this number 91. The number 91, as everybody knows, or should know, is a combination between the Chof Vov, which is the 26 of the Yud Kei Vov Kei, and the 65 of the Aleph Dalet. And there's a lot of Divrei Torah on that, that they go together. Also, actually, that they're going to make the word Ho Elokim. So you've got in this number 91, so to speak, the power of the Ribbono Shel Olam, both in his Hashkocha of Yud Kei Vav Kei, and also in his Adnus of the Aleph Dalet. It's all somehow or other linked to this particular mizmor, full of the power of the divine power within it. So we've seen why I've got 11 psukim and 91 words. Now I counted the letters. I came to 352 letters. I haven't yet worked out the significance, except that it just happens that 352 is one less than the minimum length of a year. The minimum length of a Hebrew year is 353. 352 is one less than that. But unfortunately, I haven't yet had time, or haven't had the inspiration yet, to find out what the particular significance of that number of letters in this chapter is. I'm sure this is significant. I don't know what it is. One doesn't know everything. In fact, there is a Bar Ilan Gematrion, which you can put on, and it tells you all the different places in which psukim have got that particular number. Mine conked out, so I couldn't even put it in for that. I don't know. So, but the point is, just because we don't know doesn't mean to say that that there isn't a much deeper significance. But the point I'm trying to make is we've got a mizmor here, which is a very, very holy mizmor, as we've just seen. We stand up for it. We say it only on that occasion. It's the mizmor specifically for certain special days in the year. And now we're seeing that within that mizmor, quite apart from what it says, there are depths within it from the letters and the words. Let's move on to the next thing. This is actually very significant. This is the 40th time I'm standing before you. Not in this particular room, but it's the 40th time. And the Gemara says the person is not Omid al Das Rabbo until he's had 40 years learning from the Rebbe. And we know that the number 40 represents Shlemus in Torah, 40 days and 40 Moshe was in heaven, and so on and so forth. But we also know that Mishnah, Torah Shebaal Peh, starts with a letter Mem from Mem Messiah and finishes with Men. It begins and finishes with the letter Men. And therefore, why does it do that? Because the Torah, the Shebaal Peh, is shlemistic. It's full of the inyan of our poem. Now look at this mizmor. It starts with a Mem of mizmor, and it finishes with Sholem. So it also begins and ends with a Mem. That can't just be a chance happening. There's a point to it. Just like Mishnah starts and begins with a letter Mem, so this mizmor starts and ends with a letter Mem, which is teaching us there's a lot of Torah here to be learnt from it. Mem and Mem. Now, so, as we said before, you've got to look at the first and the last, etc. That would also, perhaps, wouldn't be sufficient, but it also would explain the order of the words is important. This one is Mizmor LaDovid. The other one is LaDovid Mizmor. What's the difference between the two? Why is it sometimes Mizmor LaDovid and sometimes LaDovid Mizmor? Well, it's a principle in Hebrew speech that whatever comes first is emphasized. Not like in German, which the last word of the verse is the one which counts. In Hebrew, what is mentioned first is the Ikka. Bereshis is Ikka. Therefore, it's written Bereshis at the beginning. Similarly, Omar Abaya is a statement because the Amiro is important. Abaya Omar, then what's more important than the Amiro is the person who says it. Abaya becomes important because he's mentioned first. What's the difference? The difference is this. If an Amora tells you something, I don't care who the Amora is. As far as I'm concerned, I want to hear what he has to say. An Amora zokdos. If the Amora says this, it's absolutely, it's Torah Shebaal Peh. All I want to hear is the Amiro. But if Rava disagrees with Abaya, then I need to know exactly who said it, because I've got to choose. Was it Abaya or Rava? Which one am I going to pass tonight? And then I do need to know who said it. Then it says the name first. So in the Gemara, it's a principle. If it says Omar somebody, it's a statement, no machlokas. But as soon as it says the name first, Abaye Omar or Rova Omar, that's a machlokas. How do we know that? Answer, because since it's mentioned first, it's mentioning that's the important thing. Now, it's the same thing with David HaMelech and HaMelech David. You go through Tanakh, sometimes it's David HaMelech and sometimes it's HaMelech David. Why? Because where it is his personal situation, it's David. Where the Malchus is important, then it's HaMelech. So when Malachim starts off HaMelech David Bo Bayomim, Malbim immediately says, this chapter is talking about a threat to the Malchus. Now you wouldn't see that from the first chapter of Malachim, you wouldn't see it immediately. But the Malbim explains that the whole first chapter of Malachim, which is talking about Avishag HaShunamis, was actually a hakdoma for the a threat to the throne by Adoniram. How do we know that was the purpose? Answer, because it starts off HaMelech David. It should have started off David HaMelech. Since it's HaMelech David, this is teaching us that the Malchus is what is relevant here. Now it's the same thing with Mizmor HaDavid and David Mizmor. The Medrash tells us that where David HaMelech, he was ready, he was sort of to speak, he was saying something, but it wasn't yet had the Ruach HaKodesh hadn't yet come upon him, and he needed the Mizmor to bring on that Ruach HaKodesh. So it says LeDavid, and then when David got into it, the song enlivened. Very often that happens in Shabbos Zemiras. We start off a bit parav, not really Shabbos-tick, and then you have a good managin, and people get excited, and then the whole flavor of the Shabbos changes because of the song. That's LeDavid Mizmor. Masha'ed came Mizmor LeDavid, it's Faket. Where David himself was completely molly with Ruach HaKodesh, the Shabbos was absolutely, so to speak, utmost in his mind. It started off with the Mizmor, and then LeDavid followed because he was the one who was doing it. So what we're seeing is this LeDavid Mizmor is a lower madrega than Mizmor LeDavid. So we see that's right. So during the normal time during the week, we say LeDavid Mizmor, which is very similar in content. But this one is not just LeDavid Mizmor. This is a higher madrega. It's Mizmor LeDavid. And that's why we're able to do it on Shabbos just before Musaf, as we're going to see in a second. So the significance is the positioning of each word is vital to understand the deeper significance. And similarly, what does this Mizmor finish with? We said it finishes with remember, but it also finishes with the word Shalom. Shalom is the Chosim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that Shemayna Esra finishes off with Shalom. The Gemara Megillah tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to finish Shemayna Esra, we expect it to finish off with Shalom, because this is another, so to speak, it's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, there's a whole Shaila in the Tosis and Sota as to whether or not you can say Shalom in a place where you can't say other things. If a person's name is called Shalom, how carefully have you got to be about mentioning that name in a bathroom? So there's a whole shy about, but there's no doubt about it, the word of Shalom is a very holy name. And we finish my Nesra off with Shalom, and this Mizmor finishes off with Shalom too. Why should that be? Well, it's got to finish off with something, but you'll see in a second there's a tremendous significance in this Mizmor. Now if you look a little bit further, before we go to the Gemara, which talks about what will they learn from it. Let's mention something else. One of the things I mentioned was, you've got to look and see not only what's there, but what's missing. What is missing in this chapter? Well, if you look very carefully, you'll see there are 22 letters in the Aleph base. There are 20 of those letters. There are two letters missing. The letter Samach and the letter Tes are not there. You can check again. I did check a few times. Maybe I've overlooked it. But as far as I can see, there's no Samach and no Tes. But all the other letters are there in this Mizmor. Now, why should that be? Well, we know Samach represents the Sitra Achra. We discussed that with Samach of Bikurim. We discussed that with Gabi, remember the Piyut of Rosh Hashanah, and we discussed it about Tisha B'Av. In fact, in the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Bereishis, which tells us there was no Samach before the Chet. So we know that Samach represents the Soton. In other words, there's no such thing as a good letter or a bad letter, but it represents, so to speak, the Yetzirah and the Soton. What's the letter Tes represent? We've been into that too. It represents Toiv. The letter Tes, it doesn't occur in the first year, but says the Gemara and Baba Kamo, Chas v'Sholem, Posko Toiv, Amen Yisrael. So we know that the letter Tes represents everything that's good. And that, by the way, why there's no Tes in the whole of Kaddish, with the exception of Kaddish de Rabbanon. Because Kaddish Durabonon is a higher level. This is what the world's all about. But Stam Kaddish, although it's not a Kei Mole Rachamim, the Kaddish is something very different from that. But the fact of the matter is the Kaddish is representing the histalkus of an neshama. It's something which we feel is a chisaron of some sort, so there's no test in the whole of Kaddish, with the exception of Kaddish Rabbon, and you'll find a test in it. Right, so, but you find other examples of the test representing the best, toiv is the very, very best. So why is it that these two letters of God, and my suggestion is this, the Rambam tells us, if you want to be a good Yid, choose the middle path. Don't go to extremes. There's nothing worse in Yiddishkeit than extremists, fanatics. There are occasions where you do have to show extremism like Pinchas, but you've got to be the Madrega of Pinchas. As far as Pinchas was concerned, that wasn't extremism. That's the way to behave. You do, that's what you have to do. But you've got to be on the Madrega to be able to be an extremist or a fanatic. There's no good one of us, who an ordinary human being a fanatic because we're not to the Madrega. Therefore, the Samach and the test got left out of this particular Mizmah to teach us, you want to be a Godel Batoira, you make sure you stay in the middle and don't go to the edges. That's not what's required. So, again, it's a suggestion as to why those two letters got left out. Now, the other thing is that let's go down to the Gemara. The Gemara, both in Brachas and Megillah, teaches us, and we learn many of the halachas of Shemoneh Esra are based on this chapter. The halachas, there's no holier prayer, perhaps apart from the Shema itself, than Shemoneh Esra. Shemoneh Esra, you're not allowed to be mafsik. Even for many Shemira, but Shemoneh Esra, everybody says with Kavoni, you stand up, you close your eyes, you read from a Siddur. Shemoneh Esra is the highest point of the whole, for the whole of the Tefillah is building up to Shemoneh Esra. There are four Chalakim in Shemoneh Esra, in Davening. You've got Korbonus, which is the Hagdomah, then you've got the Psukkah de Zimra, and then you've got the Krishma itself. But the final part, the final Avoida of all the Avoidas in Davening is Shemoneh Esra. And you know where we learn out. The fact that we've got to have 18 different brachas from this chapter. The Gemara in Brachas tells us that, it gives two or three other remazim too, but from this particular Mizmah, there are 18 times that the Yud-K, Vov-K occurs, and that teaches us there have to be 18 brachas in Shemazah. We now have 19. So the Gemara, Kael HaKavod Hirim, the Kael is another name for Hashem, which is not the not the original, so to speak, but that will give us a remnant of the 19th, so we see that the whole of Shemoneh Esra is predicated upon this particular chapter. And it's also significant, there's no mention of Elohim in the whole chapter. It's all Hashem from beginning to end. Elohim is Midas Adin, Shem is Mizrachmi. The Elohim wasn't left out for no reason. It's left out because it's teaching us that this is the Midas Harachamim that we're going to have in the Shemoneh Esra. But it goes further than that. The Gemara also tells us that on Shabbos we only have 7 brachas, not 18 brachas. Do you know why? Says the Gemara, because in this chapter you've got the koil 7 times. Koil Hashem this, koil Hashem that, koil Hashem the other. So we see both legabi Shabbos and legabi chol. Legabi Shabbos is from legabi chol, it's from Hashem. And legabi Shabbos is from koil. That's also actually one of the reasons why we say Mizmor Adavad before Shabbos Musaf. Because since Shabbos Musaf only has 7 brachas instead of the normal 18, you couldn't say it before Shachris because you can't be Mafsir Ben Gula L'Tfilah. So you couldn't have said it there. So the first opportunity for us to say this is when you come to the putting the Sefer Torah back. Just before the Musaf on Shabbos, which is a remez. Remember, from this Mizmor Nadavah, we're going to learn that on Shabbos Musaf, we're only going to say 7 brachas. What's the Shaykhus? The Gemara doesn't tell us what the Shaykhus is, but clearly the Koyl idea is something that shouts out. Koyl is something which makes itself public. Shabbos is highly important. We know Shabbos is also the 7th day, and it's all connected with that too. But that wouldn't explain why we don't say it on Yom Tov for Musaf, because Yom Tov we also only have 7. But there are other reasons why it's Davka connected with Shabbos in particular. But I've only got 2 or 3 minutes left, so I'll have to leave that on one side. Now, in addition to that, the Gemara tells us, how do we know Ovos from Havu Lashem B'nei Eilim? How do we know Gevuras, What's the next Havul Hashem? Kavod, Kavod Shema. Havul Hashem. Kavod v'oz. Kavod v'oz. Oz is Gevura. So the second bracha of Shemnes has to be Oz from Havul Hashem. What's the third bracha? Havul Hashem Kavod Shema. Kavod Shema, that's Kedusha. So says the Gemara, we know not only the 18 brachas for the week and the 7 brachas for Shabbos, we also know that the first 3 brachas have to follow in that order. They have to follow in the order of Avraham Avinu, which is the first bracha, which is the Ovos. The second one is Gvuras, which is Yitzchak. And the third one is Kedusha, which is Yaakov. So we're learning from this mizmor not only the number of brachas, but even the content and what the brachas have got to represent. And that's the Gemara of Mefureshes in brachas and then Megillah. So we see how it goes. There are other things in this mizmor which are also relevant. The fact is, normally the Torah doesn't repeat itself for nothing. But in this mizmor, you have repetition in the sense of what's called parallel type of wording. You find that quite often in Tanakh, where it's trying to get a pardosulos, Hashem nos nos kolam, where you have a repetition. In this particular chapter, there's a terrific amount of this, and that is also to show its chashivos. I haven't got time to go into the detail, but if you follow it through, you can see again and again, you've got an expression which seems to have been repeated for that purpose. And how does this mizmor end off? We said it ends off with Shalom. Now we understand why David HaMelech Davka wanted to finish with Shalom. Since this mizmor is a representation of Shmoyne Esra, and Shmoyne Esra has to finish with Shalom, so the mizmor has to finish with Shalom. It actually fits in beautifully. So David knew that this is teaching us how to say Shmoyne Esra, how to structure it. And when you finish, Oseh Shalom bim Ramah, Am Varech Samay Shreba Shalom, Barak Yipan, before that, we've got the last bracha is Shalom. And therefore this mizmor also finishes with Shalom. Now, have I missed anything out from the listing here? I think we've got through. Why do we stand up? Oh, for now it's clear. Just like in Shemayin Esra, you have to stand up because of the COVID. You can't say Shemayin Esra sitting down. Well, you can say Shemayin Esra sitting down, I beg your pardon. But only b'di'evet, somebody who's got bad legs, or if you're on a plane, or in a train where you're getting shuffled around, it could be better to sit down rather than stand up. That's a whole discussion as whether to have a minion at the back of a plane or not. That's a fascinating discussion between some poskim say you shouldn't do it, some say it's better to do it. There's a whole discussion about it. But one thing is clear. If you're on a train which is shockling and you can't stand the thing, you've got nothing to hold on to, you're better off saying it's sitting down. But the point is, Shemayin Esra is meant to be said standing. And that's why we say Mizmor LeDavid standing. One of it, A, because of its holiness, we've seen all the different holy aspects of it, but also because of its representation of the Amidah of Shemayin Esra, it makes sense that we should do that. Sorry? And Friday night's like this. Friday night, this is the 6th Mizmor we're going to say. The 6th Mizmor was Friday. Friday, Adam HaRishon was created, and the whole Tachlis HaBriya started. So this mizmor is chosen to show that this is the Tachlis HaBriya. Quite apart from what we've already said about the Shemayin Esra. Remember, very often there's many more than just one reason for something. Many more aspects. We've talked about Matan Torah here. We've talked about the Tefillah Shemayin Esra. But another aspect of it is the fact that this is the culmination of the Briya with the Briya Sa'odom on the 6th day. And therefore, to show the covered of the Tachlis HaBriya, so to speak, they decided to give it the Cheshivas that we should stand up for. That's what the Mefarshim explained as to why, another reason why we stand up on Friday night. When you're putting the Sefer Torah back, of course, there's no question, because you can't sit down, the Sefer Torah is being carried. But nonetheless, there is this Cheshivas, so to speak, of the Mizmah. It's also said on Sukkot, the Gaon, the Shita of the Vilna Gaon is that on Sukkot, you don't say the Shir Shalyam at all, you replace it with one of these. We don't do that, we follow with we say the Shir Shalyam, but there's still some people who will say this too, because of Nisuch HaMayim, that's the covenant of the Mother Mayim, on Shavuos, there's a Matan Torah, etc., etc. So when you get Minhagim, there's always a whole raft of other reasons which come to bear. But what I'm trying to do here is to try to show from the Mizmor itself If you'd only apply all the criteria which we've talked about in the past and apply each one, you'll find tremendous significance will come out. And that's just an example. The only thing I haven't managed to explain is the 352 letters, and I'm waiting for somebody to give me an explanation for that.
Hello, so I just want to say just a special thank you to Rabbi Yosef. Forty Shurim, yeah, that's Torah. It's Aboyim Yom Aboyim Laila. The Aboyim Yom are the 40 days that we've had the Shia. Aboyim Laila, probably the night we spent the Perek, the night before. So I'd like to also to remind everybody.